Welcome to the Resound Worship Songwriting Podcast, episode 140. I'm Joel Payne.
I'm Sam Hargreaves.
I'm Keiko Ying.
I'm John Cairns.
I'm Andy Clark.
And this is a podcast to equip and inspire grassroots songwriters serving their local church and beyond. In this episode, we are already joined by another selection of our talented team captains to review last month's Fruit Bowl of the Spirit and to set a new theme for October that we have stolen from our friends elsewhere. Welcome, everybody, to the pod.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Good.
Nice to be here.
Good enthusiastic noises. We normally do this bit without you, so I didn't know how to bring you in, but... We spent quite a long time trying to get ourselves all properly connected, so we're all a little bit giddy now, and you're going to get the kind of post-connection high from the team that is obviously well known. So let's just do a quick whiz round. Sam, I'm going to assume that our listeners know who you are, but for everybody else, give us your 40-second bios. Let's go. John, Andy, Keiko.
Right. So I live in Chesley Street and County Durham, so quite a few other 12 song challenges, and I lead the worship team at my church, Redeemer, and I'm a software developer.
Nice. Well, I live in Chester without Lee Street, so ooh, just Chester in the northwest of England. I'm Andy. I lead the worship team in my church as well. So, and I work as a musician, so I do... crooning in the background of restaurants, that kind of thing. So, yeah, all good.
And I am also a worship leader at my church in New York, in Rochester, New York, which is, I don't know, if you're not from New York, it's pretty far from New York City. Not that cool. It's like 5.5 hours away. And I am a classically trained cellist that sort of fell into worship leading and songwriting. And so I get to do kind of a bit of all of it now. I'm very lucky.
Oh, so good to have you all. I should say to listeners, if you have listened to any indie worship recordings in the last 3 or 4 years, you have probably heard Keiko playing the cello.
If you've heard the cello in the last few years, you've probably heard it.
Probably Keiko. I was thinking, Andy, when you say I'm from Chester in the Northwest, you could say I'm from Chester in the Northwester.
I could, Joel, I could do that, and I will consider it.
Thank you
for the next one.
Thank you very much. Sam, you've become a trustee of our charity. Tell the people that means.
It means that we make sure that the charity is doing the right stuff. It means that we've slightly reorganized ourselves whereas I was a director of the agency, which was all a bit complicated, and we just tried to streamline it, so hopefully this is going to be more straightforward. And I guess ultimately it means that this is not basically a business. It's not, you know, some big organization. It's a charity, and we exist to release the songs of the church. And so, yeah, I'm happy to be part of that.
Yeah, we love having you as part of it as well. It's true, we had sort of got a bit unwieldy. We've kind of developed our behind the scenes shape over the years, from what started as something quite simple to something that got a bit more complicated as we began to develop and add more stuff into what was happening with the charity. And so now we've kind of reorganized things to try and become a bit more streamlined, make sense of it all. You're right there, Sam.
Sorry, I'm just looking at my, you know, your like waveform, and it's looking very small.
Oh,
it might be right. I've just cranked it a bit. Hello. Ha ha ha. That's better.
I think I've crushed this call.
And man, it's getting passed around.
It is. Sam, ask me some stuff.
Do you have to say that in every conversation, Joel?
No, people actually say that to me usually.
It is marriage.
In my marriage, it is definitely the other way around. Have you got any questions for me?
Honey, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
How was your day?
Yeah, thanks, doll.
Okay. What have you been up to, Joel?
Well, did you see my famous Facebook post from about 10 days ago?
Yes, very silly.
Yeah, I wrote a song. This is, like, for me, this is quite a big deal. I've been writing songs and working with songwriters and so on for 35 years, I think, very old. And I've never written a song that isn't a song for church that has ever... I mean, I've barely written a song that isn't a song for church, regardless. And I'd never put one out into the wild before. And my son beat me to it a few years ago when he went viral with Have a Lovely Day, which is worth checking out. It's a just nice...
Classic.
Little, yeah, it's a good pick-me-up. Any day you're feeling down, you look up Have a Lovely Day. So I wrote a song based on the Isles of Scilly, which was actually the themes for the team names a couple of years ago on 12 Song, but it's somewhere we go on holiday. Every year for about the last 10 years, and while I was there, I went to a concert by Seth Lakeman, who is a Southwest-based folk singer-songwriter. And I just thought, oh, don't look that difficult. I wonder if I could do one of these. So I tried to write a song, and then I sang it the next night on the island, and people loved it. So I came home, recorded it, made a little video, put it on Facebook, and I had, within 72 hours, I had 10,000 views of my video. I've been trying for years to get stuff to go like that. So, hey, I'm releasing it on single as a single on Friday.
Wait.
Wow. That's exciting. Yeah.
Does this mean you're an artist now?
It means I'm not going to be hanging around with you lot for much longer.
No more church songs for you.
No, that's it. But also, we did release two live versions of songs from recent concerts that we did in March. While we were on a concert tour, we thought, let's just leave the recording running, record everything, multi-track it, see what we can do. The two songs we usually finish the concerts with, My Redeemer Lives and Alpha and Omega, we thought we would have a go at. Actually, Kieran, who we talked about last week, came along and did a bit of filming for us as well. Mm. It's been lovely to use that. And we just put those out into the wild. Andy, you sound great on Alpha and Omega, if I may say.
Mm. Thank you, mate.
True.
Really
that.
Good. Yeah, really sure. Good. It's so nice to have the live versions as well, isn't it? You just realise, these songs are for singing, not for just sing them in church and they come alive.
I just think there's a really nice energy about them, actually. Mm. Like both of them, there's a real, energy is the
for
one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of reverb. So we thought...
Covers a multitude of sins.
Let's go out and do a few more concerts. I don't know how many more we'll do with Downcast Souls, Expectant Hearts. Maybe this will be the last ones, but we're going to try and do a few more in November. So very shortly, if not already, I'll be putting out some messages asking if anyone wants to have us. John Cairns.
Hello.
Can I tell the listeners that John has very kindly stepped up to help us in our distress in a really kind sort of generous way. So one of the problems that we've had with Kieran's illness, and then obviously now that he's no longer with us, and before we get to the phase of recruiting and replacing him, which is always in the circumstances, it's a difficult thing and you want to take your time to do it, is that we do have a bunch of websites and systems and all these other things that are running, which Kieran has built really well. And by and large, they're all still running really nicely. But if we got stuck, what would we do? And John, who has a very solid background in coding and software development and all those kind of things, has very kindly stepped up in two ways. One is just to say, look, I'll just let me have access. If you need something desperately, I can probably figure out how to do it, which is really nice, because to someone like me, I can't imagine how you could look into someone else's code and make any sense of anything else that's going on. But I guess for you, it's all a bit easier. But the other part is we've long had this kind of dream of having for Song Club, which is the songwriting platform, of having a dev club, which is where we actually get people who've got some of those skills to be part of the community, creating the thing that the community uses. John, just talk to us a little bit about how that's kind of been going and how we imagine that working out.
Yeah. Dev club, it's a group of volunteer software developers, part of the 12 Song Challenge. And I think that's key. Like, one of the reasons that I'm happy to do this, happy to give my time, is because of the way that the community has blessed me. And so I want to, I want to give back. And there are other people in my situation as well who want to give back with the skills that they have. So we're coming together to pick up the amazing work that Kieran started. And it just felt like I was here at the right time. Basically, there was a need, a sudden, desperate need, really. And, you know, by the grace of God, all the stuff that I've been doing in the last couple of years in my job, which is really not just doing development myself, but managing a team of people and sort of working out the processes to get that work actually live. Those are exactly the right sort of skills that are needed right now. So, we've been working to come up with a sort of a framework, a way that people can get involved and that we can sort of maintain consistency in the way that we're doing things, in a way that Joel and Chris can say, hey, this is what we need, and create sort of tasks for people to pick up and work on by themselves, but then also to review what each other are doing so that we have confidence that what we're doing isn't going to go and break something. Mm. And so that's the framework that people are coming into. At the moment, we've had a few people already get started. So at the moment now, it's just like onboarding, learning the process, and getting people set up on their laptops. So for people who don't know, the way that it works as a developer is you have the live site, but you want your own version of the site that you work on your laptop or your computer, whatever. And actually getting that set up can be a bit tricky. So we've been working on that, and we've got a few more people who are saying that they're interested that I'm following up with. So yeah, that's where we're up to.
Oh, well, nice. It's fantastic. Another huge thank you. We always wanted to have a bit of a team like this regardless, because it felt like a good way of doing things as a charity, as a community-based platform and so on. But obviously right now it's really helping us. So huge thank you to John and everyone getting involved in Dev Club. If you're interested in that, if you're listening to this, I'm really sorry, my doorbell just rang and I'm just going to have to go and answer it.
Maybe it's someone who's a member of Dev Club.
Yeah, Dev Club.
Sam, ask someone a question.
Keiko, tell us something good that's happened recently.
Something good? Oh my gosh. No, I can't think on the fly.
What's something in your church that's encouraged you?
Well, a couple of musicians from my team have joined the 12 Song Challenge.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so it's been really fun to have that kind of common thing to work on. I've been able to collaborate with one of them and write for, like, we're going to be going through Ecclesiastes soon. And so we were able to write a song on Ecclesiastes together. So it's really fun to share the sort of work on songwriting together, to have that in common.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing. What did I miss? What was it? I only caught the back end.
You'll never know.
Oh, it was
you'll
so
never
exciting.
To, the really good. To find Sorry. Out what Keiko's up to.
All right. Been so far. That.
All right. 12 Song Challenge. In September, we set the challenge of writing songs based on the fruit of the spirit, and we tried to persuade you to limit yourself to one flavour, one fruit from the tree, one fruit from the bowl. And I think David Brackenbury, who is long been known as Forum Dad, has come up with a spreadsheet for us listing how people have participated. So I'm going to open my copy of the spreadsheet right now and see what it has to say. It looks like the most popular subject is patience. Have a little patience, and peace, hotly followed by peace, which I think I guess we might have guessed. What is interesting is the least popular was goodness. It's quite hot.
Good. Yeah. Needs to be knocked down a peg or two. Whereas patience is the last coming first, right?
All the That's people the with patience That's got the... in first. It'd be weird, wouldn't it, if all the self-control... Actually, self-control is quite high, actually. It was the third most popular, if you can all the people who included all the fruit. Who You were allowed to do that, really. I knew I couldn't actually stop anyone from doing it. I would love to hear your reflections, team captains. Let's go, John, Keiko, Andy.
Yeah, I was, looking at the spreadsheet, I'm surprised by the lack of joy. I thought that would be a bigger feature, to be honest, but it seems like people haven't just gone for the ones that were maybe a bit easier. And I think we talked about self-control being a tricky one. It looks like quite a few people picked that up, which
couldn't
was,
help
which
themselves.
Is good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I personally wanted to pick something that I would never think of writing on. I think a lot of people in our team did the same. So that was nice to see.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really nice for it to be not just about one thing, that you had kind of a range of things to choose from. But then it really was sort of all about one thing, the fruit of the Spirit's work. And so I really enjoyed it. It seemed like there were a few people that said it was challenging. I was trying to sort of tease out why. I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't know if you guys have thoughts about why it was a little bit hard. The time of year too is a hard time of year as well. But yeah, I don't know. What did you guys find?
Possibly. I mean, on that, I found it quite a quiet month in my team Dundee. True. I know when I came to particularly look at songs to feature for the podcast a few days before recording, I think it was about maybe five songs that were up. So it's not very many, possibly. I think one thing I did, I think well done everybody for not writing songs that are just a list of the fruit of the spirits. But Joel warned us off that in the podcast. But because I've had to quite recently write one of those for my church. So I'd have been annoyed if I had to write another one.
I think one of the things that can make it difficult writing on this sort of thing is that it's very much the fruit of the spirit is God's work in us. So you can end up focusing a lot on yourself rather than God, which I think can be quite tricky as a when you're writing congregational songs, particularly with that in mind. I think that can be a tricky thing to get right.
I think it also sort of demanded a little bit that the people choose their fruit and then go away and do some sort of research and get some you couldn't just go joy, all right, that immediately leads to a song. You know, you had to go away and get a bit more. So maybe that was the extra challenge in there for people. But I felt in my group there's quite a lot this month. Maybe I don't know, I don't sort of keep a list, but I think we had a fair amount of posting.
I thought it led to some really beautiful songs. These are beautiful things, aren't they? Love, joy, peace, patience. The kind of things that people wrote. I found listening to them and reading the lyrics, I've just found enriching and edifying and encouraging in a really lovely way. Shall we bring some features? So we like to ask the captains that we've got on the pod to bring a song each from their team to share with us, something that's just something you want to share, really, from your team. Show what's going on. Let's go in the same order we did. So John, Keiko, Andy.
Yeah, well, I actually chose my co-captain's song from Mr. David Brackenbury. Because he wrote a song called Prince of Peace, and it was just one of these songs where the music and the lyrics, they just go perfectly together. And it really felt like he's nailed the sort of the feel of the song. I love how the verses, they sort of highlight the struggles that we have, the challenges, the things that bring us, take us away from peace. And then the chorus or the refrain bring it back to him. Like with the phrase, "You are all I ever need."
That's so Brackenbury.
That is such a Brackenbury song already. Nice, David.
Prince of Peace, I will let you lead. As you guide me by still waters, walk beside me through green pastures. Prince of Peace, I will trust your lead. Through the deepest, darkest valley, where my enemies surround me, you are all I'll ever need. Let me rest here in your peace. Prince of Peace, there's a part of me that can struggle to surrender.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
I was enjoying that.
I love that one.
Yeah, me too.
I like the way the chorus isn't resolved.
Hmm. It's like a little little refrain, but not kind of... It's not a high point of it either, in a way, is it? It's just...
No, it's quite restful.
Just a little response to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, Sam. And when I first listened to it, I heard the chorus, and at first I was like, that sounds like a pre-chorus, and you know, you want to land on that one chord for the power like arrival. And then I was like, no, no, for a song about peace, there's kind of a waiting, like a restful quality to not, you know, barreling into it. So,
And because it doesn't really resolve, it's like it's an ongoing thing. You know, you feel like you just sort of stay on that refrain and just keep coming back to it.
Yeah. Oh, great job, David.
Yay.
Woo.
So I chose a song that was a co-write between Philip Laycock and Johannes. Is it Van der Beel?
I think it's Van der Beel.
You guys have to help me. Beel, okay.
I think so. I mean,
I do
that's what co-pilot
always manage
thinks.
To mess people's name. Okay. Yeah, so they collaborated on a song called The Fruit of Joy. Johannes, I think, is new this year, and he is quite a poet. If I remember right, he loves Tolkien, is really influenced by Tolkien, and so his lyrics are really, really rich. And what he did in this song was sort of what I think he set out to do was to say... speak about how joy can be present and active through even the darkest of times. So what I like about this song is that he really takes the time to kind of go to those dark places in a lot of verses. And but then when you pair, so it gets kind of heavy. But then it's so beautifully paired with Philip's music. He's a jazz musician. I think maybe we've heard from him before, but anyway, he has these like warm, rich harmonies, and so when you kind of see the kind of the difficult lyrics, but then experience them through the lens of these, you know, warm and beautiful harmonies and melodies, it's almost saying the same thing in the pairing of the dark music and the lightness, like a ray of sunlight shining on it. So.
The storms of grief may threaten, and the sleet and hail may fall. The dismal news of hope deferred discourage one and all. The torrents of unbounded pain engulf our inner beings. There is a joy that overcomes the seen and the unseen. Strength, the guard against despair, a deeper sense of living in the hands of Him who cares. The rivers rise and oceans surge, and friends turn and betray. Divisions threaten to derail the love we should obey. When hearts are hard and spirits cold, and we become dismayed, then may His joy return at dawn and turn night into day. The fruit of joy remains our strength, the guard against despair, a deeper sense of living in the hands of Him who cares.
Stunning.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
If I lived with an orchestra, I'd get them on my tracks as well. There was a lovely little bit in the... I wasn't paying enough attention to tell you what the chords were, but in the second line, we to dismal news of... hope deferred, hit this little minor thing. Divisions threatened to derail the dreams, embrace uncertainty. That it just tipped a little minor. All those negative words.
Nice.
Yeah, the lyrics are so rich, and I love how it doesn't fall into the trap. A lot of songs about joy do, which is just conflating it with happiness. Mm-hmm. It really does the opposite of that, in that it kind of digs into the things that rob us of joy, and actually the reality of joy is that you don't need to be happy. It's deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Super rich. Go and check it out and listen to the rest of the songs. The verse that comes after that is my favorite.
Me too.
Little sneak preview of that.
So good.
For my team, which is Team Dundee, I have chosen Sue Crossman. Sue's written a song called Patience, the fruit of the spirit. She was writing about was joy. No, she wrote about patience. And what, in fact, Sue says that she actually showed patience by waiting until her birthday to write this song, which is the 15th of September, which incidentally is the same birthday as Prince Harry.
There you go. There's a lot.
Something special.
Do you want to say anything about it, Andy, or shall we play it?
I was going to wait until afterwards.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, patience.
God of mercy, God of grace, lavish your love upon me. Though I falter, you remain, guiding me back when I stray. You are patient, God, you're patient. Slow to anger, rich in love, pouring out blessings each day. Faithful friend, my Father God, you'll never leave or forsake. You are patient, God, you're patient. Help me stand in full assurance as I trust in you. Keep me steadfast on the steep path, resting in the truth. Your kindness gives me courage, gives me patience. I'll know
gorgeous.
Now that is singable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I really like about Sue's fantastic songwriter, but she has these these skills that she's got as a melody writer, where it's not just the melody's lovely, but it's the rhythm of the melody as well, which is super catchy. So I love that in the chorus, the dun ka dun 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 dun. So good. And I really like the way that she talks about these qualities of God, but then keeps steering the thought back to how he's patient to us.
Yeah.
As his children. Awesome. I really like this one too.
I like how she draws out the word patient as well. That's a nice musical reflection of the word.
Yeah, I love the popping out of help in the chorus, the help me stand in. It just feels like a physical cry almost and reaching out, and it just makes the chorus stand out beautifully.
Yeah.
And a little cheeky mention of goodness and kindness at the end of the chorus as well. Yeah, great stuff. Well done. Thank you, team captains. What I've tried to do this week is gather a whole fruit bowl together. So rather than necessarily try and grab a song from every team, a song for every fruit. So for the other 6 fruits, what follows is a montage.
Your musical five a day.
Yeah. Completing the fruit bowl for this month, having already had peace, joy, and patience, we have got love from Debbie Lord with Share the Love, kindness from Dave Shaw, kindness. Goodness from Darren Jones. No one is good but God alone. Gentleness by Gary Yim, called Keeper of My Heart. Faithfulness from Helen Pollard with Faithful. And then wrapping it all up, self-control from David Ward with O Jesus, Come Grant Self-Control. You can look those up on Song Club and you can listen to the whole song. But for now, here are some clips.
From my head to my shoulders to my hips and my toes, you have known me and loved me from eternity. Love that's rich in compassion, mercy, joy, and grace. Love flowing daily with your care for me.
Share it tells me love is kind. It tells me to forgive. If I'm going to walk your way, show me how to live. We got to love each other. We got to try.
No one is good but God alone. And in creation's beauty, He made His goodness known. There is no good that He withholds from any of His children. His loving arms enfold. You are good, and You do good.
Like morning dew to the ragged leaf, Your every word is life to me. Though You could be a hurricane, You meet me as the summer rain and speak sweet words of life to me. Like morning,
when You pass through the waters, I am there. When the fire rages, You will not be burned, for I have called You, summoned You by name. You are mine and I am faithful.
May every thought that runs wild in my head come and be tamed by its master. Unsettled heart slip into stride with its maker. May every craving that governs my flesh rest in a pleasure far greater. May all my plans and the work of my hands fall under Jesus' control. Sovereign Lord.
It's time for the star of the month, and this month's star is Rupert Packard from Team Eccles, who has just been a tremendously encouraging contributor. One of the things I like about Rupert is that I know he has got a, maybe I shouldn't give this away, but he has a master's degree in songwriting. But it means that he's able to offer really he picks things out in people's songs that you wouldn't maybe wouldn't otherwise notice, and it's been really helpful. He spots the way they've used words that I don't understand to do things I don't know what they do, but I love it. So thank you, Star of the Month, Rupert Packard.
Woo! Star of the Month.
Ladies and gentlemen, the challenge for October, we are stealing from our friends at LICC and Integrity. You've heard Sam and me talk about the Boundless Project over last couple of pods that we were involved with. Sam, you're also involved between now and when this goes out with a little conference that's got some connection to this. Just set the scene for us.
Yeah. So I'm going to be leading worship at a LICC conference the next couple of days, and their big thing is whole life discipleship, or they're saying everyday matters at the moment, which is basically about the everyday life of the Christian matters to God. And sometimes we sort of all play lip service to that, but sometimes, particularly our Sunday services, can give the impression that this hour is the kind of pinnacle highlight, and almost that the rest of life doesn't really matter. Let's come here, let's leave our problems at the door, let's sing our songs that don't really acknowledge everyday life. And so as an alternative to that, they've launched this project with Integrity, and it's about writing songs that connect with everyday life. So whether that be your workplace, your kids' school, your involvement in the community, the things you see on the news, and with the aim of, you know, encouraging people that God cares about that stuff, that God is interested, and that our whole lives can be an act of worship and can be, you know, as opposed to the idea that, oh, well, I'm only really serving God if I'm doing church stuff, or if I'm being a missionary, or if I'm overtly evangelizing, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's great. So we enjoyed being part of that. It is something actually that we've looked at before. We've definitely done it on the 12 Song Challenge. I was just looking back in March 2019, we did Songs for the Everyday, which is similar kind of idea. But it's been a long time.
Worship for Workers, we did at one point.
We did do Worship for Workers. Yeah, we did. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else on my list that looks similar. We've done a lot of different themes. But yeah, trying to pick out some of this stuff. So the way I've tried to put it for this is songs for singing inside church that connect with the parts of life that mostly exist outside church. And when I say church, I mean the gathered bit. So you get what that means. I was thinking about this, how we have this threefold value thing that we, as a charity, which is that we want songs that glorify God, that grow disciples, and that build community. And we've talked a lot about the build community bit over the last year to 18 months. And this is leaning a bit more into the grow disciples bit. And this kind of subtitle we use there is songs that connect with the whole of life. If your songs connect with the whole of life, then your songs are doing something to build a whole life discipleship. So that's a kind of, you know, maybe a helpful way to think about it. And you can, you can do all those values in one song, but particularly it's the growing disciples bit probably that we're interested in. So what kind of bits of life are there? There's home, family, work, leisure, sport, hobbies, culture, maybe politics, so I'm a little bit scared of that one. Art, neighbourhood, community, health, parenting, retirement, education. I mean, it's a whole smorgasbord of stuff. I will say, because I think, you know, politics is a really important thing that is happening right now. It's also a really divisive thing right now. So if you want to dive into that one, please hold on to Glorify God, Grow Disciples and Build Community. Try and do that with your songs. That would be fantastic. Let's be kind, let's be generous, but let's reflect that, you know, wherever you stand on all that kind of thing, most of us probably would like a bit of help from God in the midst of it.
And with all these things, you know, it sounds easy to write these kind of songs, but actually as soon as you step away from generic worship language, it becomes very challenging, and songs start to not sound like a worship song anymore. And also people can just pull back from singing them, because actually if they're confused by what we're saying, because suddenly we're using a whole load of different language, or we're saying something that sounds like a party political broadcast that's been shoved into a worship song. So, you know, I think part of the challenge with this is you're still writing a worship song.
Yeah.
You're still wanting people to sing it wholeheartedly and probably like understand with it and basically agree with it on the first listen. So all of those things still apply.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Yeah. I was thinking as a few ways in to this, you could think in terms of songs that see, as essentially the song is kind of seeing there is more to life than what happens when you meet on a Sunday, that sees people outside of the church. I mean, that's kind of seeing inverted comments. Maybe the songs kind of dignify a range of different people or something, because that actually, my life has some value. I see that now. It could be songs that reflect on life outside the four walls. And so you might bring praise for that. You might bring a thank offering. You might bring a confession. You might bring a lament. It could be songs that speak into the life outside the four walls. So it might be prayer, an expression of commitment, expectation, faith, or some kind of recognition of ministry being something that happens in all these different activities and areas of life. Or it could be songs that borrow ideas and images from stuff outside church to help talk about God, to help talk about us and discipleship and so on. And that's one way of connecting and dignifying those things without having to be maybe quite so explicit and pointed at them. Just thinking that you might think about your own life. What are you into? What do you do? What are your circles? Mm. Oh, you might think about someone else or others. Any other thoughts, team?
I just wanted to say, I think this thing about like, about your work with Christ not just being on a Sunday morning, it's something I've been going on a bit of a journey with. I think this is great, and the gifts that God gives you as well are like holistic as well. So for example, one of the things I do for my work is I play piano in a restaurant, and so then I don't go in there with a set list. I've got a whole bunch of hundreds of songs, and I just kind of feel the room and work out what's going to go next. That's a little bit like being a charismatic worship leader is, yeah. And going, what song are we going to do next? But the thing is, the amount of times where people have come up to me and said, gosh, that song was the right song for me. And honestly, like, there's been people who felt peace because I accidentally played a song that was by a member of their family that they've lost, but I was saying it to them and was able to provide some peace. It's been something incredible. Like, I'm more and more convinced that the gifts that God gives us for his church body are for the use outside of that as well. So I think as well, like, kingdom values are going to shine through everywhere. And that, you know, that's the thing, into home, family, work, leisure, sport, yes, and politics as well. So if we keep focus on them, I think your song should be on the right track.
I have to admit, I'm approaching this particular challenge with a sense of trepidation, because I think the second challenge song I ever did was the Worship for Workers one. And I remember thinking, oh, this is really different from the language of worship that I'm used to, as you were saying, Sam. And so my question at the time, and I still have it to a sense, is if my church has such a diversity of people and experiences, how can I write a song that acknowledges that, but doesn't just become like a list of things?
Yeah.
Hey, we can be nurses and lawyers and all this, yeah. You know, make it sort of really ridiculous, but also be specific enough that it actually means something, if you know what I mean. And I think that's the challenge I'm going to find with this one as well. I don't know if we have any answers to that. Go ahead, Kay.
Oh, I was just going to say, I feel similarly to you, because it feels a little bit easier to go directly to scripture and then try to write songs that are sort of, you know, universal and kind of timeless, because it's writing from the Bible itself. And this I'm a little nervous about, because it almost has you do the opposite in a way, where you start from the now and the specific, but then it requires this like extra step of thinking, okay, but what about this specific thing or moment or experience is still universal, or can universal truth from scripture apply? So it's almost requires like, what would you, like a prophetic wisdom in a way?
Yeah.
Like to be able to have that perspective to say, well, here are these experiences, these more specific experiences. But what would God say to this? What do we know from the principles of scripture that God would like us to know or assimilate somehow from his wisdom?
Yeah.
I feel that makes sense. And as you said it, Keiko, I was thinking you could sort of start at the now, in the place, in the life of a person, but you can go straight into scripture from there and say, okay, well, what does scripture want to say to that person that is going to help and equip them for this thing that they're doing? And it might be that the song really just ends up in the scripture. I think let's kind of hold this loosely, and also whether you want to write a song about supermarket cashiers, or you want to write a song about commerce, or you want to write a song about work, or you want to write. So, you know, be as broad or as narrow. I think we just, we try this stuff. When we did the Boundless project, the first song that they released, which was the This Is The Day You Have Made, we saved all the really specific stuff for the bridge, so we had kind of sing, I will go out in your grace. And it's kind of more generic, but then there's God on the bus stop, God on the tube, God in the rush hour, God in, you just, that's where you name the stuff. And a bridge is quite a nice place to do that really specific stuff.
For me, I think it has potential to be so powerful. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, when you're in like you're listening to a sermon and it's like, you know, the pastor is speaking about some truth that you've probably heard about a bunch of times. But then the second he goes into a story to like illustrate the truth, you're like, you're in it and you're engaged. And so figuring out how to capture these universal truths in something in the now, I mean, that it really has, if you can do it well, it has the potential of being really powerful, I think.
It's very biblical as well, of course, when Israel would get together and sing songs about what just happened last week. We just don't do that.
Totally. And I would say, try and make these, one approach is to make it as specific to your church as possible. I know that in my church, we've got, for some churches, it will be loads of people working in commerce and banking and blah, but we've got loads of people working in care situations. And actually we've got people that don't come to church very much because they are from other parts of the world and they get the rubbish shifts in their care because they don't fight back if they're told you need to work Sundays. They have to suck it up because that's their situation. And that's a massive injustice. But I feel like I need to write a very different whole life discipleship song for my church than I would if I was in the centre of London or something. So maybe think about that. What is your specific context? Also, I would say if you haven't listened to the Boundless album, go for it, because I mean, excluding me and Joel, but there was some amazing writers in those rooms and also some amazing theologians and people from LICC who've given this incredible amounts of thought. And I think it has produced a really strong set of songs. And you'll hear that they're not all the same. They don't all talk about God on the commute. They're quite broad. But also, you might listen to them and you'll go, yeah, but hang on, what about this? And that maybe become your, as you hear it, you might hear the gap and then you can write into that.
I think as well, it's just worth reminding ourselves, this is why we do what we do with the 12 Song Challenge community, because everybody's local church community is different.
Yeah.
And we are songwriters from within that community are the ones who are best placed to write songs for them. So I would just encourage you, dear listener, to think of the people who you're going to be singing to. Think of who's going to be in the room and have their faces pop up as you write the song. Sadly, one thing which is not boundless is the timetable of the British schooling system. So I've got to run to go pick my son up from school. So,
smooth.
Yeah, apologies for having to run off, but lovely to see all your beautiful faces. And everyone else listening to the podcast, hope you are well and looking forward to hearing your songs this month.
Bye, Andy. Great to see you.
It's the nicest sign off we've ever had on the pod. We normally just go, bye, bye, bye,
bye. See ya.
I've been practicing.
Bye.
God bless, guys. Lots of love.
Bye, Andy.
All right. Well, there we go. That's our challenge for October. And Sam, you've done a new skills track for us.
I have. Skills track returns.
Good man.
This one is about chords. I've basically assumed that someone is writing songs and they kind of do it instinctively, but they don't particularly know why chords go with certain melodies. They haven't really, necessarily broken that down. So I have tried to break it down to absolute basics and say, you know, how do we take a melody, set it to chords, what works? And then I've tried to sort of go from those very basics to kind of, okay, well, how do we then start to vary our chords? How do we start to use chords differently? Not just what falls with our fingers, but actually what can help develop our songs. I hope that's helpful for people. Have a watch. There's some ideas of you know, little things you could do.
Great stuff. Thank you, Sam. That's all we have time for this month. And I'm going to try and finish with a song from the Banders Project, but I'll just ask the people who actually own the songs if that's okay. Assuming they said yes, what follows is This Is The Day, performed by Philippa Hannah and Noel Robinson. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.